One thing's for sure, Donald Trump is not happy with Canada, but specifically Justin Trudeau. Now, he likes Canada and Canadians, but he does not like Justin Trudeau. He also does not like Europe, and he's threatening to pull out of NATO, which is absolutely crazy. But simultaneously, he's causing world peace. Like every country, every good and bad side is saying, we're going to follow with America and we're not going to disobey Trump. And he's not even been sworn back into office yet. This is absolutely bonkers. Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to another video, everybody. Before we get into it, I do want to encourage you all to smash the like button and subscribe if you haven't already. It does really help grow the channel. And without further ado, let's just get into it. So we're going to start off with this video montage here that explains how Donald Trump is already solving a lot of things only in a matter of a few days of being president-elect. Let's go.
Donald Trump's not even president yet. Have you seen what's happened in the last 48 hours? The misogynist appoints the first ever woman to be chief of staff. The Taliban announced they want peace with America and to be taken off the terrorist list. Putin came out and said that Western civilization is not an enemy. Mexico has started securing the border in, of course, response to tariff threats. Saudi Arabia is kicking out all of their Hamas leaders. New York is cleaning up their illegal migrant crisis. Xi Jinping came out and said he wants to peacefully coexist with China and said that they respect American people. The European Union chief finally came out and said, hey, America, can we start buying LNG from you so they stop buying from Russian gas? Putin says he takes Donald Trump's plan to end the war with Ukraine very seriously and Russia supports it. The Houthis are stepping back. The Hamas called for an immediate end to war. He's calling for term limits in from Congress so that way people like Nancy Pelosi stop being forever members. Stock markets and crypto hit all-time highs. He sent Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton into depression. Because of all this amazing news, white, liberal, ugly women are now refusing to have sex with men. America is in fact being made great again.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and he's certainly changing the world all within just a matter of days of being president-elect. And one of the biggest changes is this right here. Now, this comes from his vice president-elect, J.D. Vance, not Donald Trump himself, but Donald Trump, I would assume, 100% backs this statement, where J.D. Vance says that the United States could drop its support for NATO if Europe tries to regulate Elon Musk's X, formerly known as Twitter. Now, America is not satisfied with, NATO contributions from other countries. As you can see, the United States does, $860 billion contribution. Canada, a measly $29 billion. And you can see America does more than half, almost three quarters, if not more than three quarters of all of the other countries' NATO contribution. So not happy at all. In fact, there's likely to see a lot of, arguments within NATO. Now, is that going to trigger some sort of attack from BRICS? I don't think so. I mean, you already have Putin saying he wants to get along with America, and I feel like everyone is just kind of agreeing simultaneously that world peace is great, but we might see some really big changes within NATO in the coming years. And then we got to talk about Elon Musk here, how Elon Musk predicts Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to lose the next election.
There's a brewing international debate, one that's made headlines across North America and Europe, and it's all over social media. It began with a post from none other than Elon Musk, the tech billionaire and CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, in response to a tweet about Germany's recent government struggles. Musk did not hold back, calling German Chancellor Olaf Scholz a fool. That comment alone set the tone for Musk's latest round of outspoken critiques. But it did not stop in Germany when asked by a follower for help in getting rid of Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Musk did not hesitate and said that Trudeau will be gone in the upcoming election. Now, it's worth noting, this is not Musk's first time calling out Trudeau. Last year,
the Canadian
government imposed regulatory controls on streaming services. Musk labeled it an attempt to crush free speech. His concerns only grew when Trudeau invoked emergency powers in 2022 during truck demonstrations against vaccine mandates, a move must compare to tactics used by historical authoritarian regimes. While Musk is taking a dig at Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister is also extremely cautious with the return of Donald Trump. The two leaders don't share a healthy relationship. Trump had criticized Canada's trade policies as unfair. The two had also clashed over other issues. And now, with Musk, who has become a close confidant of Trump, it would be interesting to see how things take a turn when Trump is back in the White House.
It's going to be legendary, and I think that you're seeing a lot of really positive changes for the better, and I hope that Canada, because I am Canadian and my allegiance is to Canada, that we can follow suit, because all these things are great for America, but that doesn't really mean diddly squat for Canada. I mean, we get some trickle-down effects, absolutely, but we are still an extremely progressive country. Like Donald Trump has already said, for instance, on day one, on January 20th or January 21st, he's going to literally just say there are men and there are women and that's it. Whereas Canada's approach is extremely different. And so I think that, I mean, for the betterment of Western civilization, I think we might need a little bit more of the Donald Trump effect here in Canada. But that's my own personal opinion, and I would absolutely love to know yours. And believe it or not Ripley's, but the fact that I am actually losing subscribers from time to time for being vocal about my support for Donald Trump. So keep that in mind. If you are unsubscribed or not subscribed to begin with, it would be awesome to compensate for the loss of subscribers, because I definitely am pro-Trump, that's for sure. Now let's take a look at Justin Trudeau when he's asked about America and how he's going to secure the border and just his overall response to Donald Trump, his worst nightmare being elected.
What message do you draw from the U.S. becoming the latest advanced economy to vote out its incumbent government, and what lessons do your government take from Democrats running on a progressive message but losing ground with nearly every voter cohort in the U.S. with people more focused on the economy and cost of living?
Canadians are absolutely focused on the cost of living, which is why we are stepping up with dental care for seniors. Over 1 million people have already accessed, and more ages coming on soon. Why we're stepping up to provide free insulin and free prescription contraceptives to Canadians across the country whose weekly budgets are squeezed. Why we're moving forward with a school food program that'll save hundreds of dollars for families on groceries and make sure the kids have full bellies when they're in schools. Why we're stepping up with $10 a day childcare and creating more spaces to save families thousands of dollars at a time when costs are so high. Why we're investing in more affordable homes to bring down the costs of rent, to make sure that young families can afford their homes. These are the things that Canadians need at a time when we're squeezed. And all those things I just listed, Pierre Poilievre stands against. He did everything he could to block dental care. He stands against pharmacare, against childcare, against the school food program, against investments in housing that is the first thing he'd cut, he just announced, against the investments in drawing in good jobs from around the world, investments from around the world to create good jobs here. Canadians need a positive plan that'll put money in their pockets and grow the future. That's exactly what we are fighting for every single day.
Just another one on the US election. What kind of impact do you anticipate on investment in Canada if the US begins aggressively cutting taxes, corporate taxes, like it's indicated it will? Is there a risk of investment moving south of the border?
Canada has always focused on being competitive in terms of an investment climate versus the United States. That's why one of the things we've done over the past years is bring in new programs to draw in investment And it has worked. Since 2015, foreign direct investment has increased by 60% in Canada. Last year, we were the third largest destination in the world for foreign direct investment, which makes us number one per capita in the G20 for foreign investment. So the world is taking notice of what Canada's putting on the table. It's why we're leading electric vehicle battery manufacturing, why we're drawing in so many innovative companies from around the world interested in, yes, our resources, whether it's critical minerals or rare earth elements or energy, or whether they're interested in our AI and quantum computing. Countries and companies around the world are trying to catch up with what Canada's doing because we've been investing in it. So I look forward to seeing a more competitive North America. I look forward to working with Donald Trump, as we did years ago, to make sure that when the Canadian middle class succeeds, the American middle class succeeds, we all succeed on both sides of the border.
Yeah, I mean, that was, he had some crock shit in there. For instance, the whole battery plant thing. Like, Justin Trudeau has paid, I think it's Volkswagen, to have their battery plant in Canada, specifically in Ontario. And I think we paid them hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, it's absolutely lucrative for receiving ends. But Canada, or Justin Trudeau's government, has been bribing businesses to have to come to Canada to create just a handful of jobs, but at the taxpayers' expense, because it's costing us a lot of money. It's just very, very weird. Businesses are not wanting to invest in the Canadian economy because it's not producing them very good returns. Canada's market, Canada's economy, Canada's stock market were like absolutely flawed. Even Canadians, for the most part, Canadians are flocking to buy U.S. stocks and ETFs versus buying stuff that's listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange, because, again, our mismanagement here is so apparent and it's so detrimental that people, businesses, investors, they just don't want to put their money here in Canada. But now let's take a look at Donald Trump talking about how he just is not a fan of Trudeau. He's not a fan of Trudeau and how he's managing Canada.
One of the presidents of a big country stood up and said,
Canada,
sir, if we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us? I said, you didn't pay? You're delinquent? He said, yes, let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
That's President-elect Donald Trump earlier this year saying he would encourage Russia to do, quote unquote, whatever they want to any NATO member country that does not meet the 2% of GDP target for defense spending. Canada currently does not meet that target, but the Feds did promise this summer to do so by 2032. According to the latest data from NATO, Canada is expected to hit 1.3% of GDP on defense spending this year. The Fed's updated defense policy released back in April says that Canada will hit 1.76% of GDP by the end of the decade. I spoke to Trump's former ambassador to Canada, Kelly Craft, this week, who was insistent Canada can do better, and Trump will expect that.
I think it's really important that Canadians understand a strong military is your way of deterrence, especially in the Arctic. I mean, you no longer just have a threat from Eastern Europe, from that area. You have Russia and China in the Arctic. And I think the Russia and China are not going to wait until 2032, as your prime minister has made the statement that he would have the 2% of the GDP by 2032. That's they're not going to wait. This is a real threat.
Here to talk more about all of that is retired lieutenant.
That's kind of scary, man. That's kind of scary that Canada is, I mean, even myself included, we're like, pro America. It's like, yeah, come on, man. Let's have Trump fix America. But again, America doesn't view Canada as we're going to defend you and we stand with you. American people like Canadian people, but the American economy, American defenses don't really care that much for Canada. And that's extremely scary because Canada border Russia, and we think that we are extremely good friends with America, but with our current leader, We're not. We're absolutely not. Now, can Pierre Poilievre solve this? I would like to think so. I'm extremely hoping that that's the case. But I don't really know because, again, Canada is extremely progressive. And even some of the talking points that Pierre has, look, I'm conservative. I'm going to be voting for him unless something crazy happens. But I have intentions of voting for Pierre. But we need to drop the progressiveness and be just a little bit more like America, but here in Canada. And I don't know if Canada's able to do that. I don't know if the people are ready. I'm ready for that. Likely you are ready. Some people that have been unsubscribing in flocks to this channel because I'm pro-Trump, I guess, are not ready. But maybe they will eventually be ready. But it's actually very scary that Canada is going to be left defenseless. We don't have a good military. We don't have a big military. Our budget for the military is absolutely atrocious. Our budget for defense is absolutely atrocious. It's not looking good. Right now, it's very not looking good.
Lieutenant General Andrew Leslie, also, of course, a former member of the federal government under Justin Trudeau, who served as a point person, actually, on the U.S.-Canada relationship during the first Trump term. And former U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Ivo Dalder, is with us as well. Hi to both of you. Thank you very much for making the time. General Leslie, I'll start with you. I was thinking today of when you were that point person and all the work that you did, on behalf of the government when it came to NAFTA and the ups and downs of all of that. And I wondered from your perspective, based on that experience, living through Trump's first administration, how seriously we should take it that, you know, his closest Canada envoy during those years is so directly telling us to speed up our spending on defense.
It's not only the Americans who are telling us this, and not only the present designate and the former ambassador, Kelly. It's the entirety of NATO is telling us the same thing. We're the world's 10th largest economy, but we can't seem to get our act together to actually produce usable defense output at a time when our friends and allies need it most. And let's not forget, we're part of an alliance so that they'll come to our assistance if we need it. We go to theirs if they do. And we've fallen short and we've been caught flat-footed.
Ambassador Dalder, I wanted to ask you something similar. I mean, there's so much to unpack when it comes to Trump's rhetoric that I think it becomes easy to dismiss some things, particularly where NATO is concerned, because he's been very dismissive of the alliance at times. He said things like the clip we played. But the former ambassador, Kelly Kraft, she was very, very serious in, you know, two separate interviews, for example, that's the number one priority for Donald Trump when it comes to our relationship with Canada. In your view, how serious will it be for this country that we do have to speed up defense spending?
So I'm actually not clear that this is the number one priority for Donald Trump, but it should be the number one priority for Canada. And I think fundamentally, this is not an issue about Donald Trump. Joe Biden has told the Canadians repeatedly that they needed to spend more on defense. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama told Canadians they repeatedly did so in the Canadian Parliament. This is not because the United States somehow desires and makes it thinks it's important that you spend more on defense. It's that Canada needs to spend more on defense. Most importantly, because it's a member of an alliance that has agreed, Canada agreed, to spend 2% of GDP in 2024, not 2032, 2024. That's this year. Canada's failure to do that is it makes it an outlier in this alliance, an outlier on the side that Canada normally wouldn't be an outlier. Canada has obligations, not to the United States, not to Donald Trump, but to 30 other NATO members, and it is failing in those applications. I think it is wrong to think that this has anything to do with Donald Trump. It has everything to do with your own responsibilities as a member of the alliance, and frankly, given the threats, and I think Ambassador Kraft was right, given the threats that you face in the Arctic and other places, spending more on defense, you don't do as a favor to others, you do it because it's important for your own national security.
I think the reason, General Leslie, that I bring it up in the context of Donald Trump is because it's also, by Kelly Kraft, for example, being explicitly tied to the economic relationship, which you know is at the forefront given the threat of tariffs and NATO. And he's, and you know, to Ambassador Deldo's point, he's not the first person or that, you know, people associated with Trump are not the first people to associate our economic relationship with defense spending. But I guess I wonder how, from your perspective, realistic you think it is that Canada complies with this, even though the threat of, you know, economic something punitive in the economic realm is there, it's also very expensive to even meet the target by 2032. That's what the government will certainly tell us.
Right. I believe that the federal government has entered sort of a whining, an unpleasant stage in its evolution, where they're now whining that they can't meet that which they've been promising to do since 2014. And the current prime minister has promised this every year he's been in power. And now suddenly in 2023, he realizes, good heavens, what follows 2024? I think we owe NATO some money in terms of investment in our defense.
Yeah, like to hit our defense budget quota, the minimum, the bare minimum, not optional, but the bare minimum for a defense budget of 2%. Justin Trudeau has come out and said this year, he's jumping up and down at the thought of this. Yay, Canada in 8 years from now will finally hit the minimum 2% GDP contribution. That's absolutely insane. And this is something that Pierre Poilievre has strategically kind of tiptoed around, if I'm being brutally honest, where he has not confirmed on whether he will immediately hit that 2%. He also hasn't denied it. He has said simply, I need to see the books. I need to see what is going on, which is something that, I mean, I guess it's a pretty good answer because he doesn't have access to, you know, nearly as much information that he should have access to be able to make that type of educated decision. Because I know a lot of Canadians are actually on board with Canada not being a part of NATO and just maybe strengthening our relationship with America and just being like, hey, America, protect us, please. We'll give you everything that you want instead of giving that to NATO and constantly failing to meet that budget. So I'm not really sure what Pierre Poilievre's long-term strategy is. But when it comes to this particular topic, he hasn't said on whether or not he will meet the 2% right out the gate, which it is what it is, right?
Capabilities, which we have not done. Right now, Canada is struggling to maintain 2,500 troops, air, land, and sea overseas. Our frigates are older than the sailors that sail, and we can only afford to have one modest-sized warship as our contributions to the entirety of the Pacific region. Our Arctic is undefended. We have 300 armed forces administrators. We've got about 1,600 rangers armed with a rifle and a skidoo, and their job is not to deter, it's to observe and report. Russia has between 25,000 to 35,000 troops in their Arctic circle, and the Americans, bless them, have 22,000 superbly trained, well-equipped people in Alaska, their Arctic, who are actually defending us. And the Americans, predating Donald Trump, are sick and tired of us not paying our fair share.
Ambassador Gelder, as you... Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add to this. I think the reality is that Donald Trump actually is not particularly interested in Canada spending more on defense because he's not particularly interested in alliances. The reason that Canada needs to get serious about defense and needs to get serious about defense together with its European and other allies is because the Trump administration, this particular Trump administration, is going to be no friend of NATO. It's going to be no friend of alliances. The idea that you can rely on the United States, whether it's the 22,000 troops in Alaska or indeed the 100,000 troops in Europe, to be there to defend the interests of the Europeans, which I happen to believe are also American interests, but I don't think Donald Trump believes that. He believes that Europe should be defended by Europeans. He probably believes that Canada should be defended by Canadians, just as he thinks Americans should be defended by America. Under those circumstances, the era on which Europeans and Canada have relied on the United States as the security guarantor, and in fact, the force that will defend them, that era is coming to a close. That's the reality. And if Canada says, we cannot afford 2% of GDP to spend on defense, well, can you afford to keep country? Because that's what you're really talking about, given the threats that we're facing, and the reality that the United States can no longer be counted on as an ally. So under those circumstances, not just what NATO needs, it's not just what Canada, what the threats are, it's what Canada needs to do.
I think General Leslie wants to jump in on that point too. Go ahead.
I would just like to build on the whole idea of strategic risk management. And what we're facing is an unparalleled immersion of threats not the least of which Russia, China, Iran, and a variety of other dictatorships, all of whom seem to be coalescing around the idea that the rule of law no longer holds true. The president of the United States, their first job is to take care of America. And then after that, it's discretionary. There's every instance to believe that we should prepare for the case where the United States starts to withdraw from international commitments in terms of blood and treasure assigned to defend others. And I believe the current government has made the reprehensible error, despite evidence that could have guided them if they'd been willing to listen, to invest in our defense so that we have our defense capability, which we can use to help others should we choose to do so, to take care of ourselves. Because the era of relying on the United States to defend us in the face of all adversaries may be over.
I just have time for one quick question for Ambassador Dalder. The government will say, and I posed part of it already, how expensive it is, that there are a myriad of other priorities, and that they have increased spending, or at least the allotment of defense dollars, significantly since they came into office. Of course, that still puts that target out till 2032. What would you say to respond to that?
So the government faces the same problem that every other government faces. Canada is hardly the only country that has competing financial interests, whether it is social, pensions, health, what name it. Every government has that. And yet somehow every government, or at least all the major governments in Europe, have been able to get to the 2%, even though they face similar backlogs of underinvestment. That includes Germany, which is this year spending 2% of GDP because it promised to do so. It says in 2014, yeah, after Russia first invaded and seized Crimea, that we would reach 2% by GDP by 2024. Canada signed on to that agreement. It had 10 years to figure out how to get there.
And we're not even close.
Say in 2023, sorry, we need another 9 years, isn't good enough. The reality is it's not about how you spend it, it's that your security is being eroded in a way that will not benefit the Canadian people. If your security is eroded, then your health care and everything else will fall by the wayside too. It is job one of the government, and this government has not done what it promised to do, and it needs to do that, not because the U.S. asks it, not because NATO asks it, but because it thinks and said that that was important, and it agreed to it.
Okay, I'm going to leave it on that note.
Canada keeps failing. Well, I shouldn't say Canada, but it's specifically Justin Trudeau and this overly progressive, radical, left-wing government, these liberals, they're ruining global relations. I mean, for crying out loud, you got Indian news making fun of Justin Trudeau and the liberals. You got Australian news making fun of Justin Trudeau and liberals. You got President-elect Trump making fun of Justin Trudeau and the liberals. And it's not going to be good for Canada and our economy if you keep the liberals in power with their current policies. We're going to get taxed to death. We're not going to have protection. We're not going to have defenses with America. It's not going to be good. We need to turn the taps on. We need to start giving oil or selling oil to America. We need to be super pro-business. And at least that's something that Pierre Poilievre, leader of the opposition, has come out and said that he wants to do. He's very big on oil and gas. And that's what we need. We need a massive boom in our economy, and we need to be exporting, and providing, making money and fixing our debt. We need to fix our debt because we got a lot. We got the most. We got a tremendous amount of debt. Now, this is the end of the video, everybody. I've shared my own personal opinion. I would absolutely love to know yours down in the comments. On your way out, if you haven't yet already, I'd like to encourage you guys to smash the like button, subscribe, and I'll see you all in the next one. Bye for now.